And thanks for joining us now on KVCR for KVC Arts. Arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. On this edition of the program, it's the music once again of the indie rock band Sept in conversation with Ben Ochoa and Caleb Irvin. They've got a date at the Troubadour in L.A. rather soon, along with a few other bands, and more on that later in the program. On a previous KVC Arts, we explored their self-titled release. Now, some singles, EPs, and more. I read the lyrics actually before hearing the song. I might have heard the song. Tony was probably saying, hey, here's this band Sept. Okay, and so it was just a quick scan, a needle drop if you're doing an album. It's just sort of checking out little bits of it.
Yeah.
But then when finally getting ready for all this, I read the lyrics before truly listening to the song, and I really expected it to be, by reading the lyrics alone, I expected it to be another hard-driving, high-energy kind of belting out the lyrics kind of thing. And so again, it'll be playing in the background, so people will know just how wrong I was.
Yeah.
So beyond the, hey, let's do a slow one, this one feels like something that would have come from maybe even a simple slow jam. And then I'm trying to decide if the lyrics were written for it or if this is some sort of poem which finally found a home.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
That was sort of poetic within itself.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so for that one, the way that it kind of happened, I was hanging out with this friend of mine, and we were drinking like a lot of wine. And then they got too tired to drive home, so I was like, okay, well, you can go sleep on the bed. Like, I'll sleep on this couch in the corner. And then I woke up the next morning, and I had that first guitar riff in my head. I don't know if I dreamt about it or something, but I could hear it. It was like, dun, 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 dun. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I wonder if I can actually find that. So I picked up my guitar, and then I started trying to feel around for it. I probably missed like two chords before that. And then I hit it, and I'm like, okay, that's the one. And then I started looking for those extra two notes, and then I just moved my pinky, and then it made those extra two notes. And I was like, okay, all right, so there's something here. So I started writing that, and then that one was an instrumental came first type of thing.
Okay.
And then when I got to that part where those oohs come in, the ooh, that's when I finally understood the type of vibe that I was going for in the song and how to match the songwriting to it. And yeah, it is sort of like a poem, considering like how little lyrics there are, considering
right.
the amount that I usually write for a song. And yeah, that one just holds a special place in my heart. It's nice.
It's totally a cool one. And it, even though it's got a slower feel to it, it also has a bit of a grittier feel to it. That is something coming from the recording process, or whatever filters.
Yeah.
And I think it takes it from being something pretty, like some sort of a heartfelt ballad, to more of a raw memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I didn't want you to post it at first. I was like, no, this is horrible. You can't do it. I just cannot believe it. After listening to the song over and over again, I'm like, why didn't I like it again? What is going on?
You were more of the high energy, belting it out stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
It took convincing for me to put that song out too, because my other friends and I, we had gone to this place where we just kind of sit in the car and then a bunch of donkeys surround you. It's in like the mountains.
You know that doesn't happen everywhere, right? So you were somewhere and a bunch of donkeys started surrounding you.
And then we were just talking in the car, and I showed them this song. They were like, bro, you have to release this. I was like, oh, I don't know. I was like, Caleb said maybe not. And then they were like, no, bro, like, this is the one. And then, so I set it up for release, and then it came out. And then now it's like our highest streamed song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
On Spotify.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh. Okay.
Wow. After Los Muertos, did the donkey say that?
The donkey was heavily invested. He said, no, I think this is the one.
Donkey's laid down.
Oh,
yeah.
Heard
wow.
the whole song.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Continued on the way.
One tried to get in the car. I was like, oh.
That's when you know you've made it. this one, Braces, has the quality that would make people throw it into the shoegaze category of because the vocals are much more blended in as another instrument instead of something that rides over the top of the other instruments. And so were you wanting to try something in that vein? Because I don't recall much of that in some of your earlier pieces.
Yeah. Weirdly, the vocal part was inspired by an artist called Joji. It was from his song, and it was called Slow Dancing in the Dark, I think it was, or something like that. And I don't know, it wasn't a conscious thought of like trying to change the sound or anything. It just kind of happened to be what came in my head at that point.
Gotcha. Moving on to Going, Going, Gone. This is not quite another breakup song, but rather this is more of a song about let's hold off on having that conversation.
Yeah.
So here's another one of those, just all about the lyrics and what came first and how things were assembled. So what I picked up on this was wondering if this was a song written in preparation for that conversation or more like a reflection of, oh gosh, remember when we were at that point.
You're correct. I was in the relationship at that point, and I was going through like some sort of like weird teenager depression thing. I was feeling real bad, and I just didn't have the energy to give to the relationship anymore. And because I was a teenager, instead of, you know, communicating like a regular person, I decided to portray that through just kind of like my actions and the way that I started being from then. And they just ignored it like it wasn't happening. And then so that's where the line comes from. Don't try to pretend like you don't know what's going on. It's like, obviously, like, I don't want to do this anymore. You don't have anything to say about it. And that's what that's about.
I'm glad you brought up that portion. When you get to that point of the song, it's creative usage with the syllables for sort of punctuation. You get to this, don't try to pretend. And this makes it incredibly catchy in a way, not like a catchy bubblegum pop tune, which I probably wouldn't be talking to you if that's what it was. But that phrasing is just punctuating each syllable, and it kind of makes you, no matter what happens, where your thoughts go in the rest of the song, because we drift, you get back to that, and it's like, don't try to, you're back to it. I don't know, it draws you in. It's just really cool to be doing that. Was that a case of just trying to work out the syllables and, okay, I didn't want to put in another word? Or was it truly using it to punctuate? Because we do speak like that, you know?
I think it was inspired by this song called Disco by Surf Curse. And they kind of have a part like that, but I think it's like half as long or something like that. It's like that. It's half as much and stuff. Try to pretend like you don't know what's But yeah, I guess I do try and like consciously make the songs like what I think somebody would find catchy, what I would find catchy basically if I heard a song on the radio, and like what would kind of catch my attention. There's always got to be at least one part like that that brings somebody in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like you don't know what's going on.
The Doggy EP, was this also 2021, 2022? And they're all within a 3-year span. But...
I think, yeah, it was 2021. I
yeah, okay, okay. I was like...
Yeah.
Okay, so five really cool tunes here, and I almost want to schedule something to address like every song individually on several of these albums. We can certainly do that at a later date, but rather than addressing songs specifically on the Doggy EP, my question is, what makes an EP versus an album for you and your timing of release? Yeah. Is it a matter of just trying to get something out quicker with an EP? Or these are just the ones that belong together, so we're not going to go full length. This is it. I said what I needed to say.
So for me, it was kind of like the idea of having a freshman, a sophomore, and then a junior and a senior album.
Oh, wow.
And that's how I kind of like think of it. And when I look at a lot of the artists I like, they don't have like more than four albums usually. And so like I really want to like save albums for like that big moment in like Sept, you know what I mean? Where you're putting on your best songs, you're putting your best foot forward and all that. The first album we released, I hadn't really thought about that. I was just kind of trying to get like a bunch of things out so that when people were like, hey, do you have music? I was like, yeah, we do. We have 15 songs for you to choose from. So that's mostly why we haven't done another album.
Yeah.
And like usually if I want to do a big project, we do an EP. And the most I'll ever do on an EP is 7 songs, maybe 8 with a hidden track, which is what we did
on
Accidentally Dying on Purpose. So we're working on that though.
I'm glad to hear that in a way it leads to a question that I did not ask about the initial release, but it applies to what you just mentioned, Accidentally Dying on Purpose, another full-length album. When it was time for this album, were these all songs written with this release in mind, or was it slowly amassing enough songs for something full-length?
For Accidentally Dying on Purpose, it was intended to be an EP, but when I started uploading it, it got listed as an album. And I didn't know that, of course, until it was already, like, streaming and stuff, and we released it.
Okay.
But, yeah, so that one is supposed to be an EP, but it's labeled as an album, so I guess technically it counts. But it makes me sad, because I didn't want that to be my
he
sophomore
it, he
record.
Seated, he goes, no, that's our sophomore record now.
Like, label. I've been labeled, it's an album.
Okay, so it was then. I mean, so the first one, the full-length album, that was a collection of songs and some of them. But this one, you actually had intended to go full-length and writing more with it. Ben, are you someone who writes for the sake of writing, you know, like without the intention of things becoming lyrics? You know, just the person to carry a notepad or journal around with you and sit in the park or whatever.
I mostly am aiming for everything to be a song. It's the easiest way for me to think of it. Of course, if you don't put music over it, I like to think that I write lyrics, hopefully that can be used as a poem if it wasn't a song. And then I take them and I put them in the song and try to make it in a catchy way so that, you know, you're listening to it and you're dancing. And then you pause for a second and you're like, wait, did he just say this? And then you kind of like sit on that for a second and you're like,
Nice.
I want to think about that.
I'm David Fleming in conversation with Ben Ochoa and Caleb Irvin of the band Sept, simply S-E-P-T. The best way to find their music is by going to their link tree, linktr.ee/thebandsept. Or you can just do a search for link tree with the proper spelling and then add as one word, the band Sept. From there, you'll get links to TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Bandcamp, YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Music, and more. Also announcements of performance dates, including at the Troubadour in L.A. June 21st, along with Bed and Boy Kama as special guests with the High Curbs. Back now with KVCArts on 91.9 KVCR. I'm David Fleming. Find many past KVCArts through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And most past shows are kvcrnews.org/arts. On this edition of the program, I'm speaking with Ben Ochoa and Caleb Irvin of the indie rock band Sept. We're talking about singles, albums, and EPs, and now one from the release Accidentally Dying on Purpose.
I've been doing this way too often. It's been so long.
on accidentally dying on purpose, Boy Toy. Mm-hmm. There are some songs I'll ask if this is an actual experience or the idea of something like this. We spoke about that earlier a bit. There's just a bit too much biting anger in this one for me to think anything but this coming from an actual experience. Mm-hmm. I think Tony and I were talking about this. Boy Toy may have the most lyrics set to music of any of your songs, or at least we were wondering about that. It seems like more of a conventional song in structure, verse, verse, chorus, etc.
No, yeah. Definitely. That was when I was like, we should stop here, we should go there. I think I was playing it a whole nother way too at first. Like, I wanted to kind of do it a little jazzy.
Yeah.
But it definitely has a structure to it. I didn't know it had the most words.
I don't know if it has the most words.
I'm not sure
maybe,
if it does.
Maybe, does it? Maybe out of everything that's out, I don't know. There could be just like some random song. I don't know. But that could be true.
Compared to the ones, some of the other ones that we were looking at that point, there were some that were maybe, oh, I don't know, four stanzas, or two stanzas of four.
Yeah.
But, oh, the full title, by the way, Boy Toy, Batteries Not Included. And I just found that really funny, actually, and it made me listen to the song
really?
Like eight more times to see if you actually said that somewhere. And,
yeah.
And of course, you don't. So I was like,
no, I don't.
There's 16 minutes gone from my life. But, okay, that line, though, Batteries Not Included, it almost feels like a lyric that didn't make it to the song.
It was just a cool name.
Yeah.
It was a cool name. And, of course, I say Boy Toy, like, in the song and stuff like that. The Batteries Not Included was just kind of, like, something that I was, like, I was just going to call it Boy Toy. But then I was, like, oh, like, this would be funny. I used to say this on my kids' like toy boxes, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, totally. So. No, absolutely. And it is funny. And it doesn't. The title does not have to be in the song. Well, one of the ones that strikes me about this release, and that is the full-length Accidentally Dying on Purpose, whether it's Build-A-Bong Workshop or Idle Minds, which I love. I don't know. I don't know if I could say I have a favorite, but that one is really like driving.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And someday I'll discover a lyric that makes me, why did I like that? But it feels great. '805, that's another really cool one. These all feel a bit more polished than the Sept release, okay? So again,
yeah.
Is this a stylistic shift trying to get a little bit less of a garage band sound,
yeah.
Or was it truly access to, you know, better equipment and recording? And both are valid.
Yeah. No, yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it was definitely more of all of the above. We have a thing where we really do want to evolve, but make sure, like, you hear Sept and you go, that's Sept. But they just keep going, like they are getting better.
Yeah.
So we really definitely love to change up the vibes.
That one was definitely a conscious decision of trying to like move forward and make something else. We kind of wanted to be like a little bit of like a weird emo alternative indie thing. And that's kind of like more of the direction that we're leaning into with the stuff we're working on. Yeah, so it was a stylistic change that we were looking for.
Oh, it's a cool sound, and it doesn't make me, though, let go of the older stuff. Like, okay, here's the polished, I'm going to leave the Sept release behind. Because, again, I told you earlier I went into all this sort of backwards as far as which song I was listening to when. I didn't go in chronological order.
Yeah.
I guess, in other words, hearing something more polished, for lack of a better way of saying it, with Accidentally Dying on Purpose, I still love going back into the Sept release, and that is one that if you have these on hard copy, I would have in my car turned up loud wherever I'm driving.
We'll get you one special.
No,
please.
Definitely one delivered by Sept.
Now, that makes it special. That's Sept special. That's
Sept delivery.
Sept
delivery. We're going to have a good one. We need to keep playing with that, and we'll figure it out. September mornings. All I can think of are ballads with September. Okay, now we mentioned this one earlier. This is also on Accidentally Dying on Purpose. This one is listed as Homecoming. It's the last track, but it's two separate songs with a bit of silence between. There's a couple of things there. Is there a connection to these two songs that I didn't pick up on, or is it really just the fact that you have this fondness for having the hidden track?
I'm a really big fan of Fiddler, and that's the only tattoo like I have on my leg is a Fiddler tattoo. And,
post a picture, Fiddler, please.
This will be the promo for the show, his leg.
And their first self-titled release, which is also just called Fiddler, at the very end they have a song, and it's named something. And
they put a lot of thought into that.
I can't say the name, but it,
oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, I'm with you now.
It has a part two at the end, and it's called That Thing, and then part two. It comes on at 4:20, like after the silence.
I noticed that.
And I was like, okay, I want to try that out too. And then so I waited until it hit 4:20, and I put that track right there, and the official name of that track is High Garden.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know if I saw the actual name of that, just Homecoming.
It isn't there. No.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's why I didn't see it. It's not there. This is what a lot of the times, this would be the point where people say, no, it was right here. It's in between this and this. This is where you should have seen it.
No,
but
you completely wasted a little more time.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, 53
Except
minutes in.
Except anything, it's time.
It's time wasting, exactly.
That's a great promo there. Line for you guys. The next flyer. It's be the opening. When you get that web page going, just don't. That'll be the opening phrase. Don't bother. Well, again, I want to go in on a future date at some point. One, talking about new material that comes out, but also diving deeper into the Doggy EP and maybe some of the other tracks that we did not hit on this. Mm-hmm. But to close, let's just talk about what's coming up, whether it's gigs or the new album, ideas for that video you always wanted to do.
We're getting our gigs lined up. We have nothing officially announced
yet.
But we definitely are aiming towards like San Diego mostly. And then, yeah, we've been working on the next big project probably since like last year. Last year was the first year that we haven't released anything. Just keep your eye out. There'll be some stuff this year.
Definitely doing more things behind the scenes than we were before, just so we can get everyone to notice us a little bit more.
Yeah, working on it behind the scenes, so that way once it's in front of you, it's the very best that
yes,
it can.
Yes, exactly.
Be.
Talk about 30 minutes or less. This is another single not connected to one of the other albums.
Yeah.
Is this one of the newer ones also, or does this go back?
Yeah, this released right before Stacy.
Oh, okay, so it's amongst your newest then also.
Yeah.
Then. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about where it came from. For whom is it written?
So that one came fresh from cutting off like a relationship again. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Just tell us the story, please.
Oh my God. It was basically, that was at the very end of like, even after the breakup, and then even after just kind of like still staying in contact after and like being friends and, you know, doing what you do, there's always going to be that point where like officially like you've grown out of each other and like there's nothing left for you guys to say, there's nothing left for you guys to have. That's what this song is about.
And why 30 minutes or less? Were you dating a Domino's driver?
No, I was watching the movie with Jesse Eisenberg, the 30 minutes or less.
Oh, yeah, I guess there's that too. Okay.
So there's a few songs that are like references to like movies and TV shows.
Way cool. Hopefully I have something more on that one. And again, the Dog EP and so much more in the future, as well as upcoming material. So once again, the way that people can reach you or follow you and find out about these gigs when they do happen.
At the band Sept on Instagram. If you want to hit us for any booking inquiries, whatever, that's scabpromotions@gmail.com.
Don't talk to us, I swear. Oh my gosh. Well,
so then when people send a message out, this is going to the manager that you were talking about earlier?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
phenomenal. Exactly. Ben, Caleb, I thank you so much for your time. This was fun.
Nice meeting you.
Oh, actually, this was a great time, and I really am looking forward to the next live gig. You're down in Paris. Is that why you're looking at San Diego a little bit more? It's just closer. The Temecula wine tours aren't working out for Sept.
We're trying to, you know, just get a little out of the IE, spread our wings a little in L.A. and cool. San Diego. So that's what we're going for. So come and see us in a city near you.
Beautiful.
Coming soon.
Thanks again, guys.
All right. Thank you.
For this edition of KVC Arts, I've been speaking with Ben Ochoa and Caleb Irvin of the band Sept. Much more at their link tree, linktr.ee/oneword here, the band Sept, or you can just do a search for link tree again with the proper spelling and then simply add one word, the band Sept. From there, again, you'll have the Sept TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Bandcamp, YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Music, and more. And a reminder once again also that they'll be at the Troubadour in LA June 21st, along with Bed and Boy Kama, and special guests with the High Curbs. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Ben and Caleb, and here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, Tony Lopez, and Sharina Wad. Many past KVC Arts can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts. Behind us now, for example, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support, which you can do any time of the year. Go to kvcrnews.org/support. And thanks again.